Good morning to all of you. Yeah, thank you once again for inviting us to share with you. I think it's been 3 years ago. Very thankful for the Lord for allowing us to share with you. This is one of the hardest sermon I had to prepare. And again, a lot, actually. Yeah, I'm really thankful for the church to invite me to ponder and meditate and think through this Psalms 49, which is a psalm that I will not really will look through deeply if it's not for the sermon. But I would like to share with you what I will have learned. So I just want to, let's pray. Yeah. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you have given us your living word, a word that is eternal, a word that does not change, a word that gives life, because you yourself are a God who does not change. What you say comes to accomplish. Your word gives life, Lord. We thank you. So, Lord, we ask that you may you teach us. May you comfort those who need comfort. May you warn and bring us back to you for those who have turned away from you. Lord, may we truly, Lord, be strengthened in our faith, in our knowledge of you, and may we grow, Lord, to love you more. So we commit all this and ask for your spirit guidance and be our teacher, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I continue on with about fear. Just last year, there's a Singapore medical team that came to Cambodia. We went to a very rural village to minister there, and there were other people as well. There's some young people that come to help in the children ministry and the youth as well. But among them, there's one young guy who's very fearful of insects. So whenever he goes to the toilet to bathe, he will ask another of the teammates to go with him to chase away the insects so that he can bathe. But yet, despite his fear, thankful that he is willing to go, which is not easy, for him. Each of us has certain fears, a belief. Some maybe public speaking, some of hikes, like some say, going to see the dentist because of needles. We have one friend who was afraid of hospital because of dengue, he has to go to hospital. Before, when he reached hospital, because of the smell of the hospital, he fainted straight away. So, I checked the internet, they say there are more than 500 types of phobia listed. People are fearful of different things, my wife has shared about fear of evil spirits, and we have met a few from each where we went to serve, and quite a number of them actually came to know the Lord because of spirits, and they are to seek help. And then the pastor ministered to them, and they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and find freedom as well. We have one student as well who had nightmares day after day. And then one of their friends said, oh, come, there's a Bible study group in the dental school. Let's go, and meet there and learn from God's word. And out of that, after a couple of months, he no longer have the nightmare. And we just really thank God for that. So this is some of the things that God did. And interestingly, I just checked the internet as well. You know, the American top 10 fears, one of these is corruptions. It was out of my mind. I didn't believe that corruptions, it was one of the America. So this, and then death as well. Death, especially of loved ones. Two main things that will relate to our theme today. Do you know that there are 10 to 30% of people in the world who are afraid of dying? Yet, God can use such fear to bring to Him as well. Our teammate from Korea by the name of Bedro, when he was small, he was very afraid of death. He seek all sorts of things to try to find, is there some way he can be safe, that he doesn't have the fear of dying, and that he found in Jesus Christ. And out of that, he became a pastor in Korea, and later became a missionary in Cambodia, and now serving back as the national director of OMF in Korea to mobilize missionaries to go. So we are thankful that God used various ways to bring people to him. So in terms of corruption, we deal with power and wealth as well. And if you look in today's Psalm, you can search things that relate to wealth. The word like wealthy, wealth, rich, riches, there's at least 7 times. And then death. Death, decay, die, perish, tombs, grave, dead, 12 times at least. So today, it's not just about fear, but things that we are not sure, you know. Sometimes, why does such thing happen? Today's theme will be based on these 2 verses, verses 5 to 6, and then in 16, you say, why should I fear? And then in verse 16, say, do not be afraid or do not fear. So we will focus on this. But let me go to the introduction of today's Psalms. It is for the choir masters, which means that it's intended for public worship and was directed to the leaders of the singers or the musicians in the temple. The author, as last week, Hui Su has shared as well, is for the sons of Korah, it means the descendants of Korah. They are the group of Levitical singers and musicians that God used, you know, to lead his people in worship. Interestingly, if you look, there are about 11, at least 11 psalms are written by these sons of Korah. 11 psalms. And from 42 to 49, these are the main psalms that are written, or some say, or 4 or 2 for the sons of Korah. As Hui Su has shared, their forefathers, Korah, was rebellious and led 250 people, leaders, to oppose Moses and Aaron's leadership. They say, why should you, Aaron, be a priest? We can be a priest as well, you know. Not only that, they show contempt to God. And because of that, God punished and destroyed them. Earth swallowed the Korahites and some of his families, and then fires came and consumed the 250 leaders. It was a sad tragedy. But yet, in Numbers chapter 26, verse 11, we see the mercy of God. He says, the line of Korah, however, did not die out. So all of these are the sons of Korah, the descendants of Korah, that God in his mercy and grace would choose them to serve. You see how they too choose not to be like their forefathers, but they choose to remain faithful to God and to serve him as well. And what is this Psalms? Psalms, there are many types. Some are psalms of lament, some of praise. But here they say one of the main focus is called the wisdom psalm, a psalm to teach us, to impact us, the wisdom, so that we may know the will of God, to guide believers toward a life of righteousness, by providing instruction, reflection, meditation on God's word. And they help to promote spiritual growth, and especially in this psalm, to offer assurance and comfort during life's challenges of and have doubts. And so how can we live a life that will honor to God? So this wisdom psalms in Psalms 49 is quite similar in theme to Psalms 37 and 73, if you read. And you will find out more about that. So the context is found in verse 5 and 6. In verse 5, the psalmist say, "Why should I fear when evil days come or in times of trouble? When wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches." The psalmist represent the righteous believers as well, who were living among a community that was surrounded by arrogant, wicked, wealthy people. Perhaps, most likely, these rich people have power as well. They deceive people. They cheat. They oppress. They can falsely accuse, slander, perhaps even harm the people or even ruin them, thus causing some to have fear. Who then are these rich people? They represent individuals who possess material wealth but lack spiritual understanding and wisdom. Wealth is their God. And some of the characteristics you can find in this psalm is they describe them: wicked, deceiver, trust in their wealth and in themselves, boastful or arrogant, foolish and senseless, consider themselves but lack understanding. These are the rich people. The psalmist is not condemning, or God does not condemn those who have wealth or those who are rich, but here is those, the character, you know, the way they deal with money, the means that they earn, and the attitude towards the people, you know, caring for themselves alone, that which is not pleasing to God. But in today's context, we see or face similar things as well. The last three prime ministers of Malaysia was charged with corruption. In October 1st, they recovered 160 million out of one of the prime ministers because he forfeit the claim. In Cambodia, you see rich people, sometimes take the land or the people. They change name, the land title, go to the department, and then they get the land. Or they can change or they pay the court to be in favor, to win whatever case they have. Some countries are ruled by army, militia, corrupted presidents or prime minister, or corrupted police or army that works with drug pushers, human trafficking, or scams, for example. This is an ongoing thing. One of the issues or the reader that the psalmist want to solve is the question that we ask as well. Why do God allow those who are wicked to prosper or to rule over those who are good? I was in the prison ministry in the early 1990s when I was serving in the government in Simpang Renggam. And the prisoner asked, why does God allow the good to suffer? As a prisoner, he asked the questions. And my friend from India, when he was coming back after the Christmas celebration of preaching, he was tailed by few other people, and one was armed with sword. And when he stopped at his house, he came and wanted to slash him to death. His son saw and came and stopped the slashing, but his hand was cut deeply, and tendon was some cut as severe as well. Why does God allow that? Perhaps there are some of the questions we ask. Some of us, and then the psalmist say, you know, we fret, we are anxious, we get angry, we are envious of them, or we are fearful, or we question God. So today, we will look, what does the psalmist has to tell us. The psalmist in verse 1 to 4, he exhorts and encourages all of us to listen to what he has to say. He says in verse 1, "Hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together." Hear is a word that use. Hear attentively and intelligently. Pay attention so that you may know and that you may obey. Then listen to give ear. Interesting, strong, say is to broaden out the ear with the hand. It's as though, you know, when you can't hear, you put your hand, isn't it? Can you speak louder? It is like this. Pay attention. I want to know. You should broaden your ear so that you hear this word of wisdom that has been given to him. Who is it for? For everyone. All inhabitants. All peoples of the earth. Whether you are rich, you are poor, whatever status you may be. Whatever gender you may be. Whatever status you have. Listen. Because it is important. Listen. Why should we listen? Because there's something important to teach us. From verse 3 and 4, it said, "My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be understanding." Wisdom and understanding is something in the Proverbs and encourage us to seek. It is more valuable than rubies or whatever it is, because it will give us life. It will guard us. It will protect us as well and help us to see things from God's perspective. And he say, "I will incline my ear to a proverb, and I will solve my reader to the music of the lyre." He will explain this wisdom that he gained through the meditation of God's word, of what is going around. And God has taught him, he would like to share and impart his knowledge or understanding with us. And he will do this, you know, with the teaching, you know, together with the accompaniment of music. Throughout church history, men of God, such as Charles Wesley, Martin Luther, and John Song, the evangelist, recognize the value or the importance of hymns or songs as a way of teaching theology to laymen. In those days, many of them cannot read or write. The songs that hum will remember. And it is this melody and the God used to impart his truth to the people and help them to memorize it and then put it to practice. Some of the children's songs that we learn, we still remember, you know. Songs like "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," and you know, this. A song that is powerful, that has been used, I read, and Hudson Taylor, there's someone who worked with the opium addicts, and he sang this song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." And this is a word that strengthened the people when they struggle with opium. When they went to prison ministry and they sing, I can't sing very well, sing hallelujah, you know, sing hallelujah. And it's that song you can hear from the prison, wow, your hair will stand up. It's so meaningful and powerful. The presence of God is there. The song is sung has power. And so too, he will explain, you know, how should the righteous, the believers react in the face of wicked people who holds power or who prosper. So how can we gain wisdom and understanding? I just quickly go through the main three ones that, you know, God say, fear him. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Need to fear God, put God first. Ask God. If anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask. Study and meditate on the Bible, just like this psalmist did. Meditate on God's words. So after he has called the people to pay attention to what he had to say, he exhorts his leader to have courageous faith in times of trouble. He said, "You need not fear." Why should I fear? It's a rhetorical question that he posed. Why should I fear when evil days come or in times of trouble? When wicked deceivers surround me to do harm to me? Those who trust in wealth and boast of their great riches, be not afraid when the man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. He's trying to encourage us and the readers, trust in God, don't fear. Be patient when it seems that God is not governing the world. Why evils happen? But we should realize that God in the end will rectify all wrongs in his good time and the end of the world at the judgment day. Know that God is sovereign over all people and situations. Just as I say, God is sovereign. He is our maker. And last week, we still shared from Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Because we have God ever there, we need not fear. But it does not mean that fear will go away. Courage does not mean there is no fear, but courage means acting despite of fear as well. I'd like to share a testimony. In 1997, when there was a coup, the two prime ministers were fighting in Cambodia, and we see people from our house, the streets, lots of people going through the south. People don't know where to go. They think this is safe. Question we ask, shall we go and follow them? No, we were new then. And during that time, ASEAN countries, including Malaysia, sent plane to evacuate the nationals. Mother and child has a first priority, so Chen Chen and our older son left. But there were a new family at that time from joined OMF from Korea, with two young kids. I felt the Lord say, stay, Korea and Japan have sent planes to stand by in Bangkok in case the situation gets worse. It was not easy to stay back. Fears and anxiety we have. But what encouraged us is that despite the fear and anxiety, each of us will meditate on God's word. And then we come together to share what we have learned and then to pray together as well. And then trust a life, that our life is in God's hand. Find comfort from his word. There's a word, a sentence, that a phrase that one missionary from China who lost life, and she was just a new missionary during the Boxer Rebellion. She wrote a letter before she died to her mother. She said, death is but a door to heaven. It's okay to die, just one step to heaven. God is there to receive us. When you see that our times is up, our times is in his hand. So when we fear, what do we do? What should we do? I think just briefly go through, read God's word, go to his word, meditate on his word again. Let the word speak. Psalms 23, Psalms 27, 91. There are a lot of passages that encourage us, to comfort us, to remind us who God is, where is he. Pray, praise, like in Jehoshaphat, when you praise God, God works and delivers as well. The army is too great, Lord, we do not know what to do. He seek God. I remember God's past work, very important, and his character. I want to encourage this word. Encourage me, this verse from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. I read. He said, he, that means God, has us from such a deadly peril. We know that he went through all hardship. And he said this, in the past, he has delivered us, he said, and he will deliver us again at present. He believed God would deliver us. And on him, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us in the future as well, past, present, future. God will deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the glorious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Because God, our God that we believe, he does not change. The same Alpha and Omega, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faithful one. So therefore, we can trust our life unto him, and he will act and do. The psalmist also in verse 7 to 9 also reminds the righteous not to fear evil times or arrogant people, because these people, their lives and power is only temporary. They, like everyone, will die, or they may lose their power, no longer reigning. None can compare with God who is eternal. He says, no one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough so that they should live on forever and not see decay. To redeem or to means to buy back, you know. Sometimes like here nowadays, maybe a pawn shop that you do, that you pay to buy back the things, or to rescue or to free something or someone from bondage or slavery through a price that you pay or payment. This is the concept found in the Bible. You know. It derives from the ancient practices called kinsman redeemer, who pay a price to free a relative from debt or who sold themselves as a slave. They can buy them back to have freedom. So God gave us freedom. But here it says that not the rich, no matter how rich they are the richest man on earth, cannot prolong and if when they are dying. They may see the best medical doctor, they have the best equipment. He may live for a while, but no one can live forever. All men will perish as well. You know, men try all sorts of ways. Now there are a lot of research to help us to prolong our life, eat diet or whatever exercise that we do, fasting. We can prolong, but eventually we will die as well. So remember, he said, don't be afraid. One day, they too will die. They cannot pay to God and say, God, I want my life. You know, can you extend my life? Give me longer. Even though God did for one of the king when he asked for that, but it is out of God's grace. So they are unable to escape death. So don't be afraid. Even though they are rich, they too will perish as well. Everyone will die. And that's the truth. In verse, it expands again and affirms again the certainty of death for all. Because of sin, we know all of us will one day die. For all can see, wise, whether the smartest man, the most intelligent man die. And the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. They cannot bring their wealth. No one can bring our wealth to the next world or to heaven. Their tombs will remain their houses forever. Their dwellings for endless generations, though they have named lands after themselves. The rich man, maybe honor with the streets, with the land, with the building, under their name. But after many or centuries away, their names will be forgotten as well. The houses will no longer exist. Only tombs or grave remains for them. So verse 12 say, people, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their saying. They are like sheep, they are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd, but the upright will prevail over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. So they are like the animals whose life is temporary, who will lose everything they have. There will be no afterlife, no hope for them when they perish. Sad. It is sad to hear that, you know. But yet he says that the psalmist reminds us or to warn us, don't put your security on wealth. Wealth cannot last. Where is your name? Is it more important to have a name on this earth or have your name written in the book of life where you are assured of your eternal life? And Jesus also warned us against covetousness and greed. He said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? To gain the whole world, the praises of man. For great man in the world, people praise you. You may be famous, but in the end, if you lose your soul and suffer for eternity, it is not worth it. It is not worth it. Yet, here, there's one verse to talk about, you know. The earlier talks about the upright will prevail over them in the morning. There's hope, the picture of hope. You know, the morning, the righteous will prevail over those who are wicked, those prosperous, wealthy, rich, powerful people. There's hope for us in the morning, and later we'll see why. In verse 15, the hope is the hope of redemption in God. Verse 15 to 20. Yeah. Let me read. You follow. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. Do not be afraid when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases. For they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them, though while they live, they count themselves blessed. And people praise you when you prosper. They will join others who have gone before them, who will never again see the light of life. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish. Again, the psalmist declares his confidence. One day God will redeem his soul from the power of the grave. God, he will see God because God is his God. God has a power. God can and will redeem. And he said this as well. He will surely take me to himself. Not just will God will redeem me, but God will take me to himself or receive me. So the psalmist say, it's the same Hebrew words that one commentary say, you know, that God used when he took Enoch directly to heaven so that Enoch does not have to die. He said, Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. The same word, God took him. It's the same word in Hebrew as well. For example, in Psalm 73, verse 24, he said, you guide me with your counsel and afterward take me into glory. God will receive us into glory days to be with Him. The righteous will receive and will be welcomed by God. God will take us by a hand, you know. Or in the Message, Bible said, God snatches me from the clutch of death. He reaches down and grabs me. He takes me to be with Him. It's God who will take me. Assurance, not just the psalmist, but in other Bible as well, in the Old Testament, like Job say, I know my Redeemer lives, and in the end, He will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see Him with my own eyes and not another. How my heart yearns within me. How he longs to see God, to be with God. He knows that when he dies, he will see God. And it is because we know Jesus is our Redeemer. And in Revelation, it shows us, it says that a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you, O Lord Jesus, were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. All the people who believe in Jesus one day will see God because of what Jesus has done. As we celebrate the Holy Spirit of Jesus, to redeem us. And he say in Hebrews as well, he redeemed us once for all with the eternal redemption. God will take us. So the psalmist again remind the listener and to us as well, remember, you know, who you are. You are God's. You believe in God. You are God's possession. You are God's people. Don't fear. When death may be near, or when evil seems to rule, God is still in charge. Don't be like those who are rich or powerful. One day they will perish, and they will lose all hope for eternity. They will suffer. Life on earth is short. The eternal glory with God is forever and ever. That is. So how should our attitude towards wealth should be, and how do we use it? I mentioned earlier, you know, being rich and wealthy is not wrong. We have people in the Bible like Abraham, rich. Is attitude towards it, the way we obtain it or use it, that is important. If we obtain it to corruption, to bribery, to means, avoid people, that is wrong, you know. So what should be our attitude be? Just read two verses from 1 Timothy. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, which richly provides us with everything for enjoyment. Command them to do good and be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is true life. And it says in Hebrews, keep your eyes free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said this, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is our helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? It's written to the Hebrews who suffer persecution, who lost their homes, who lost the possessions of some, and some are in prison. But yet, he assures God is with you. As God has promised to Joshua, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So God still speaks to the people in the New Testament and today as well. So, summarized in this attitude is, all that we have comes from God. our strength, our ability to earn. So be thankful and be humble. Don't be arrogant. Love God above all things. Put our hope in God, not in wealth. Learn to be content. Perhaps live a simple lifestyle. It doesn't have to have luxurious things all the time or things that we think is needed, but actually is our want. Seek to do good. Do good, be generous, be willing to share, to help others, and learn to be content. I think most of all, I was pondering is this, to be rich in love. You may not be wealthy, but be rich in love, in mercy, in grace, in kindness, in goodness, in compassion. Be like God. I remember a sweeper in Cambodia who used to attend the church in Phnom Penh that we were involved in. She shared that, you know, she saw someone in need of water. Her salary is very little. She buy a cup of water and give. I mean, a bottle of water and give. And some of the food she share. Even out of poverty, we can still be generous to others. So in summary, it talks about or remind us, don't be like those who seek wealth. Don't trust in wealth. Riches cannot save you or anyone else from death. In the end, all will die. Think about your future. There's more to life on earth. There's a future heaven that you need to think of. While human wealth is insufficient to save us, God is able to redeem us. So seek wisdom, discern what is truth. Like what the psalmist say, teach us to number our days that we may live wisely. In conclusion, again, think about our priorities. If we have been pursuing wealth, and forget God, turn back, return back to God. Think of what is more valuable, what will last. Again, reminder to trust God and not riches. To place our security on God. And live with an eternal perspective, you know. Don't think, be so short-sighted. I mean, look closely, but look far in the future, you know. Understand earthly riches are just temporary, you know. Seek God. Build up your relationship with God. Love God. Be wise in what we use, the money that God has given to us for the influence of God and the expansion of His kingdom. Most of all, remember those who are not believer yet, I hope that you today will think about your life, will think about your future as well, eternal. There is truth, there is life, as some have found, like we share in the stories, to a friend in Korea, those in Cambodia as well, those in prison found life in Jesus and hope, peace and them. Again, the closing, I just want to read first. In Psalm 55, he says, as for me, may it be as for us. I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening and morning and noon, I cry out in distress. He hears my voices. He rescues me unharmed from the battle which around against me. Even though many oppose me, God is enthroned from the old of old and does not change. God is enthroned and does not change. He does hear, He does care, He will help. In the end, victory belongs to God. He will be the one who will rule. He who is the God of all nations will one day come again and will judge the living and the dead. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we can put our hope in you. We can find strength in times of trouble. Because you are our strength, you are our shield, you are our refuge. In you we trust that you are ever present, the Emmanuel God. Even when we do not understand things, you are there to guide us. You are there to hold our hands. Lord, when we have questions, as we ponder, as we meditate on your word, may your spirit teach us that we may see things from your word. We may be encouraged, we will be challenged as well to continue, Lord, to live for you despite difficulties or sufferings, despite what we lost, Lord. But in you, we gain much more, Lord. Eternal life, eternal glory to be with you. And may those who do not know you come to know you. People from all over the world come to know you, to praise you. You, Lord Jesus, who was slain for them and purchased them with your precious blood. We give thanks in Jesus' name.